welcome again to Jaded Gamercast. My name is Lang. With me, as always, is Nathan. It is far too early in the morning for scotch, but we decided not to record last night because it's fucking Labor Day. Deal with that shit. We're going to record now. So, yeah, deal with it, Nathan.
Yeah, Jaded Gamercast drinking before noon.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Before noon. Send the kids off to the playground, get in the basement, start drinking. That is how we do it.
We did draw the blinds, though, so the neighbors wouldn't judge.
Yeah, that's true as well. I mean, you gotta have a little bit of dignity. Nah, you really don't. Let's get right into the show here. So, we're gonna go ahead and follow up with, well, I guess, what are you working on right now? This week, anything changed?
Yeah, I mean, I tried to paint some more of my horrors, wasn't really feeling them, and as I was rooting through my bits bag looking for a part for a friend, I stumbled across some Forge World Chaos Dwarves that I'd add-on purchased for free UPS shipping a while back, and started painting them up. And I must say that all of the armor and beard is a very different welcome change from what I've been painting the rest of the year, just being like naked demons.
Nice and simple.
Yeah, hey, I mean, it's simple. I'm having a lot of fun. I don't know if I'm going to, you know, paint up all of them. I just did one right now, so we'll see.
Just to play around with?
Yeah, just something new in the hopes of just sort of getting me back into the groove of painting so I can hit my horrors harder.
Well, for me, I didn't paint anything last week. Still the same plan as last week. Very much the idea of, like, I want to paint up the Strange Aeon stuff. I want to paint up my Firestorm fleet, get it completed finally. And obviously kind of start working on some Ogre Kingdom stuff as that book has now come out, which we'll be talking about next episode, obviously. So get your books.
God, that's with the spoilers. It's like we have a plan now. What's up with this?
That's kind of gay. Yes, that is the plan right now. But let's go to the Facebook page, and we're going to read our quick favorite haikus for the White Dwarf from last week. Mine is from Kevin Kent. White Dwarf Battle Rep. The outcome never in doubt. New guys always win. Because that's just as true as it gets.
Yes.
That's all I feel.
That is 17 syllables of just fucking truth.
I was going to write one about it being a about it being just a brochure, but yeah. I couldn't put one together.
Yeah.
I'm not a poet.
That's fair. No, my favorite is actually surprisingly the exact same post by Kevin. And really, I think anyone that read it was just like, yeah, that's Nathan's
favorite.
That's
going to be Nathan's favorite.
Ode to a bug. No longer balanced. Your codex has been crud-aced. Time to play counts as.
Joy.
Yeah. Look, he was able to get crud-aced into the thing.
Like I mean, I don't think anybody was ever in doubt. So this week's listener challenge is more kind of stupid fun. I came up with this one, and this is, what is it? It's Rule 63 Primarchs, or as we like to call them, Matriarchs.
Yes.
So, you know, if you want to do a Photoshop of one of the Primarchs done up as a woman with some tits, or if you want to just change the name, like, instead of Lehman Russ, it'll be like Lorna Russ or something like that. And just kind of have some fun with
it. You know, yeah, or Lorna Russ, you know, Regina Dorn.
Regina Dorn.
Sanguinius.
Sanguinius, yes.
Like there,
you just want to Photoshop some Sanguinius pictures of him as a woman. They're not hard to do.
You just pull a picture of Sanguinius.
Yeah, post it.
That's all
we're going to get. But
but even beyond that, because I was thinking, I love the Photoshop Challenger. Even if you like to sketch and you can sketch something out and scan it up, that'd be awesome as well. But for those of you that don't have Photoshop on your work computers, I think we should do a Rule 63 photo scavenger hunt as well online, because undoubtedly there is some disturbing shit in the 4chan channels. So if you can't make your own,
it is
by
Facebook,
all means,
though, so remember,
yeah,
they screen that shit.
They do screen it, so don't get really weird. Like, I'm sure there's Primark Scat Play somewhere. This is 4chan.
It's
this
around
is the internet.
There. That's Rule 34, though.
That is true. But, you know, even if you're just going to sort of photo scavenger hunt it and try to find...
I got a couple of great ideas.
Rule 63 Primarchs, by all means, post up the links in Facebook or save the picture and just, you know, upload it there. But, yeah, I think that one should be fun.
I think that one should be entertaining.
Yes.
All right, so let's move on to higher learning for this week. And as you guys can see, higher learning, we're just trying to have some fun with it. And obviously, this is going to continue for this week, which is higher learning. What?
Oh, I was just going to say that this week's higher learning is very near and dear to my heart, because it is a skill that
it is.
You have to work at.
People will take away knowledge from this,
yes,
and they will use it in their gaming careers.
Yes.
Higher learning for this week is how to compliment an ugly army for the sake of sportsmanship.
Yes.
That's exactly what it is. My favorite? Here's my favorite line right there. You set up, your opponent sets up, you look across the table, and you're like, oh, okay, how do I do this? Because usually they'll open up with like, hey, you got a really nice army.
Yeah,
and then there's that awkward pause where they're looking at you and kind of looking down at their army.
Well, it's like when you're dating that, you know, you're dating a girl, you really don't care about her, but the sex is great, and she's just like, you know, she leans in, she's like, I love you, and you're just like, shit, I was gonna dump you in 25 minutes.
Wow, that is so weird.
Oh yeah.
My favorite is oh yeah, your army looks great. It's really cohesive. That is my favorite line by far, where I'm just like, oh yeah, your color schemes are really, they're really solid.
See, what I always try to do is...
Because you can always compliment the color choices.
Yes.
When the painting is shit.
If the execution is poor, let's take it back a step into the design space.
Oh yeah, orange and tal... orange and turquoise. I wouldn't have gone that way, but that is ingenuity. You, my friend, are an innovator.
Yes. Well, see, what I always like to do is I like to try, you know, I'm very familiar with the range, having worked at Games Workshop, so I always try to look at it and pick out a conversion that he might have done.
Well, that was my other thing. Bad conversions.
Yes, bad conversions, because then you point out, you're just like, wow, I really like the way you put, like, four pulse rifles on that one Kroot. I mean, that's... That I had never thought of
and
that.
And that's exactly the one. Wow, yeah, I would have never thought of that. So that's pretty awesome. Are you playing it as something? And then they're just like, no, it's just for awesome show.
Yeah.
Just like, it is pretty awesome.
Yeah. Oh,
there's no good way to do it, but you have to be very good. Or mm-hmm. you could just outright lie. That's always fun.
Yeah. Well, but I mean, I find the ability to outright lie goes down with, like, the nicer your army is in relation. So it's just like, because I mean, like, if that army is like a step down, you can actually be honest and bend the truth a little bit and lie a little bit and just be like, man, you know, that's so awesome. I love it. It's, you know, you're almost right there with me, you know, and it's just like, it's just a little bit of work here. You know, why don't you just add like a couple highlights here and try maybe a wash? And I really think everything would pop. You know, and that way, you know, you're taking it. But when it's just clearly horrible,
like a can of gold spray paint and some black shoulder pads.
Yeah.
You know who you are.
Nice. But I mean, when it's really like that, and you know, that's when you really gotta just, you can't lie, because like they know, like it's just like when you've got like this beautiful, like well-painted army, and then you're just like, yeah, and I love your army. It's just so amazing. They know you're lying. Like, because no. It's just like, there has to be, like, people have an awareness of their own, especially at a tournament when you can walk around and look at every other army.
Right.
That's when, you know, they kind of become self-aware. It's like Skynet, right? Without nuclear bombs.
Oh, yeah. It's like complimenting a hobo is the way I like to think of it. There's really nothing nice to say about their pants other than, you know, those look warm. You know, you look comfortable. Good for you. So when you're talking about an ugly army, it's like complimenting a guy's ugly sister, you know, or ugly baby.
Yeah.
Oh, look at that. Isn't he just cute?
Yeah.
That's about all you can give to it. So, oh, look at your army. Isn't that just complete? That looks really finished.
Yeah.
Good for you. Those conversions are just, I would have never thought of doing that myself. Primarily because...
It's kind of ridiculous.
So that brings us to very first Jaded Gamercast public service announcement.
Yeah, there it was.
You were going to stop me. I was like, no, here it comes.
I thought you were going into the topic. I was like, no.
No, sir. All right, hit it. You're going to jump in. Get in there.
Fair enough. All right, so... For those of you that listened last week, we did promote a local tournament that was going to be for a good cause. But as it turns out, and this is sort of like a buyer beware, should you ever email us asking
very much a buyer beware.
You know, ever asking us to promote it, apparently...
If we were to make a graph...
Yes.
The graph would be bad.
Yeah. Well, unless we flipped it on its side, but, you know... But apparently, Jaded Gamercast is poison to events.
It is poison to events.
By merely mentioning them, they get canceled. That's right. And then get called out on Facebook.
People will literally leave your event if we mention it on the show.
Yes.
So don't go to Onslaught.
Yeah, don't go to Onslaught.
Don't go to Onslaught. We will not be playing at Onslaught. Do not go.
Yay! Success.
Although I do hear that a good way to get people to not sign up for your tournament is to complain about the community on a local community forum.
Yeah. It helps.
It does help. It does help.
But yeah, so... you know who you are. But, you know, seriously, why when you're just like, oh, I'm sorry, there hasn't been enough interest. I'm, you know, we're going to cancel it. Because after the Jaded Gamers shout out, there were more people dropping out. See, that's a dick move.
Well, I like to say, I like to give the guy the benefit of the doubt and just be like, I don't know if you really meant it that way, but boy, it came off that way. And it wasn't just me, because I thought it was just me, and then I talked to Nathan, and he was like, oh yeah, I got that too. But then I talked to two or three other people, and they're like, yeah, I totally got that. And I was just like, okay, I guess it's just not me. Jaded Gamercast PSA. Yeah, we're just going to kill you, tournaments. Say, that's buyer beware. Unfortunate. That is, buyer beware. Our graphs are poor. Oh, man. Okay, so let's now move on to the main topic for today's show, which is going to be a bit of a change of pace, as we like to do every once in a while. We are going to be talking about a new game that Nathan and I played yesterday that we were introduced to by Uncle Mike, who is a local games enthusiast, because he is one of the creators of this game, and he is the proprietor and has all of the molding facilities in his basement, and yes. It is a local game called Strange Aeons, which is, I'll kind of put it to you like this. If you watch Supernatural, playing a mission of Strange Aeons is like playing an episode of Supernatural.
Yeah.
It's very cool in that sense, because this is very much a horror-based game. It's very story-driven, it's very personal, and it's very small as well, which is very, very cool. You're playing on only about a 2x3-foot board for most of the missions, and it takes place in what? It was the 1940s? The 30s, 40s?
Yeah, I think, yeah, something like that. It's early 20th century kind of thing. So, I mean, your technology isn't huge. I mean, I think the Tommy gun and dynamite are like your two.
Yeah, we're talking World War II era.
Yeah.
Right around there.
A little before, I think.
Now, what's really interesting about this game, and what was really kind of drew me toward it.
Because Woodrow Wilson is.
That is correct. Yes, it's the 20s. What really drew me towards this game is the idea that it's not your typical tabletop board game where both sides are trying to win.
Yes.
Because you play as one of two sides in the fight. You're going to be playing as your Threshold team. Now, Threshold is a government agency that investigates the paranormal, which is very cool, very dark. And you build a Threshold team of 15 points. That's your only option. It's 15 points. That's where you start. Building that team only comes through winning scenarios. Gaining experience, losing people, buying people, building yourself up, things of that nature. Now, what's interesting about it, like I said, is that the bad guy's side does not gain experience. There's no requirements or strictures to follow when you're building a list. You just build it to however many points you want to build it to, and then that's what you play. So if you want to have werewolves fighting with mummies fighting with zombies, go to town, as long as their list is built big enough. And as the bad guys in this game, your only real goal is to do as much damage to your opponent as possible and stop them from winning. You don't care about winning. You just want to do damage because you don't gain anything by winning.
Well, exactly. Because, I mean, you know, when you're playing evil, you know, when you're playing the bad guys in the game, you can mix and match in everything. But every single game you reset and all of your guys, you know, start from what's in the rule book. So whereas as a Threshold player, if you win, you can get, you know, one of your characters can get a new skill, which means now you're playing with a 16-point army. You can re-equip, so if you were just like, you know what, I didn't like the shotgun, so I'm going to trade it up for this. Like, you can do all of these things staying within the points limit. So your Threshold agents are going to evolve over time. They're going to get better because they're going to get more skills. You might even get more of them because you might decide, well, I'm going to re-equip, take off the shotgun, and buy a civilian who will have a howitzers or whatever.
Or like my guy when I lost that fight where he's completely unaffected by fear, except for when it's heights.
Yeah.
Oh my God, when it's heights, I shit my pants.
Yeah. Well, you were just lucky because you almost killed
him, yeah. One point away from murdering him on the first game.
After the first game. But then afterwards, he's like, okay, I have to do two more rolls. So he is now completely immune to fear. That's awesome. And then, oh, he's very afraid of heights. What? That's just ridiculous.
I got a huge kick out of that, though. I love that idea because it's like Indiana Jones, where it's just like, oh, he's not scared of anything,
but
just
snakes.
Don't bring snakes around, and that man will shit himself.
Yeah,
but he's Indiana Jones.
Yeah, no. So I mean, like I said, it is very interesting. And as the bad guys, Lang is absolutely right, because your group isn't growing. They're always going to be sort of out of the same rule book, and you can buy equipment and do whatever the same, you know, in much the same ways. you aren't looking at sort of surviving or doing whatever. So whereas the threshold is going to come in and they're going to be searching for artifacts or map pieces or, you know, just sort of investigating in general or trying to stop a cult summon or whatever it is, very much like Supernatural,
right,
which is very cool. As the bad guys, your whole goal is to just stop them. So
yes,
it's just like the threshold has victory conditions. As the bad guys, you're going to win by preventing them from achieving them.
Well,
and that's it.
And I think one of the interesting things was, I think when Kyle was kind of putting this game on the table for me and kind of talking about it, one of the very interesting things that he had said was, you know, even if they win the scenario, if you killed that one agent that you hate,
yeah,
like, that's a win for me. Because it's all, like, you have to track all of it.
Yeah.
That's the whole point of the game. What I really like about the game is it tells you, no, play it this way.
Yes.
You know, don't fuck around. Don't go build yourself a 30-point list and go crazy. Don't do this. I mean, you could do it. There's nothing stopping
yes
you from doing it. And as our buddy Jason had said, you know, there's nothing stopping people from even lying and saying, like, oh, yeah, here's my list. But this isn't necessarily a tournament game. I'd be interested to talk to Mike and say, you know, do you really envision this in tournament play in anywhere? But
I don't think it's possible to do a tournament game because you're going to have people coming in with threshold lists of varying sizes. And yes, the game itself is
balanced around.
So you build the bad guys.
Oh, yeah.
But to me, this is a con game. Like, this would, like, I would love to spend an
afternoon.
Well,
this is a buddy's game, right?
You like, get an afternoon in a con just playing, like, 25, 30 games. Because the other thing that I really enjoyed about it, it is fast. Like, this is the anti-Warhammer. Because I think
we didn't even know the rules and we played a game in under a half hour.
Yes.
Like, that was because I was getting my butt destroyed by a cleaver.
Yes.
But
everyone buy a meat cleaver.
Oh,
that thing
Jesus
is ridiculous.
Goddamn maniacs. But, I mean, like, I didn't know any better. And I forgot about a lot of the rules. And we were kind of playing, you know, as newbies do
yes
when we play the game. But, you know, it was still fun. It was still a very interesting game. It, like you say, it's the anti-Warhammer. It is the game that takes you out of it. It really takes you out of that mindset.
Yes.
Because I was still playing Warhammer, and that's what was also kind of killing me. Was I was just like, well, I'll move here, and that's going to stop this. Well, no, that's still a bad move.
Yeah.
You know, like, I look back on it, and I realize, like, no, I was making bad decisions because I was playing Warhammer. And
yeah,
because,
I mean, when my bolt action opened up and right off the bat wounded one of your agents, you just made a run out of my line of sight, but that moved you into charge range of my maniac with the cleaver. So
right,
that's why I was just like, it works for me.
Well, I should have just moved everyone. I mean, shoulda, coulda, woulda. But,
yeah,
like, that's the whole idea of, like, building these lists and playing these games. No, I got destroyed by the cultists and the maniac. It was pretty retarded. But, no, like, the game was fun. I think that's the biggest thing for us to say. When we play a new game, the game was fun.
Yes.
And you definitely see potential and you see a lot of very interesting things because this game, like Mordheim or Necromunda or Inquisitor, things of that nature, is better kind of the more scenery that you have. Now, we played in a small kind of open village.
Yes.
Scenario, which was fine, but it really, you know, your bolt action was the king and...
Yes,
I just could not kill that fucking maniac to save my life, so it was just...
But then again, afterwards, when we were going through the rule book again, there were certain...
There were a lot of things I could have done, yeah.
There were nuances in the rules that you could have done to help you, but also, the things that we missed were, like, critical misses, critical hits, because, I mean...
Yeah.
Even, like, because, yes, I had a +2, but if I rolled a 6 and a 1, well, now I'm only at a +1. So it's just, you know, there were things that we kind of forgot, so I think going through playing another game, we'd be a little closer, because...
I didn't build any close combat into my list. So
yes,
that was the problem.
So whereas all of my guys have like cleavers and knives to run up and like stab you, you were just
knives.
Like, I have pistols. Let's do it.
I had knives. I had Bowie knives. But no, I mean, I think that's kind of the fun of the game is there is a lot of personality to it, which is kind of leads me to the next bit, which is the models. Now, we were able to go to Uncle Mike's place there and take a look at his facilities, and he has, you know, pretty nice facilities for molding down there in his. Molding studio.
Well, I guess for those of you that aren't familiar, studio is just a pseudonym
for basement.
For basement.
But no, I mean, the models are made out of some sort of resin composite, which is really strong, which is really, really cool, which
I
like quite a bit.
Well, yeah, because, I mean, he showed us because, you know, he said that as someone who casts in resin and people are familiar with Games Workshop products being king of miniatures.
Right.
In Forge World, he always gets people asking about the durability of his resin, so he took one of his models and he threw it as hard as he possibly
could. He is not a small man.
No, and he's not a small man. And it bounced off the concrete floor up against the wall and then, like, bounced somewhere and pinged off a table. We go and find it, not even a crack.
Not even a chip, not even a dent. Like, yeah, and these are guys with, like, little swords and, like, little pistols and shit.
Yeah,
like,
so it's just like The models are very, very hard, and right. they're very good.
So, I mean, when it comes to the molding stuff, I think what really is going to draw people into this game is the fact that when you talk about Warhammer or Warhammer 40,000, there is no horror aspect. There's no Wolfman, there's no mummies, there's no, you know, those traditional horror-type monsters. There's always some amalgamation of them where they're more of an army or they're more of a, you know, a general or something like that. It's not the same. It really, really isn't.
No.
And there's a lot of really kind of cool, creepy monsters that he has cast for this thing that you can play and have a lot of fun with for these types of games, which is really, really interesting. And again, because it's not just we're both trying to win, it really does add a very cool aspect to the game, which I personally really like.
Mm-hmm.
We were able to play a game. It got really late. We didn't play a second one. But, like, I do want to try to get a couple more games in. Like, I want to get my guys painted up. I want to keep playing. And it didn't go well for me. I mean, it was bad. But
Cleaver hacked every one of your guys in half.
Oh, man. But, like, I don't want to go back. I didn't lose anybody. That was the big thing. I don't want to go back and say, okay, I'm not going to play this list anymore. I'm going to start over because I lost my first game. Because I'm just like, well, my guy did get no fear. And I think the only thing that really happened that was bad for me was my dude, who I'm eventually going to try to turn into a magic user, rolled up poor health. So at the beginning of every game, I roll a d6, and on a 1, he just doesn't join, and I'm just like, fuck.
Yes. Well, especially because, you know,
poor Cecil is sick today, so unfortunately he won't be joining us.
Oh, but that's 7 points of my... Fuck. Oh. No.
He's about 4, so he ain't that bad. Okay. He ain't that bad.
But well, when he can cast spells, he'll be that bad.
Well, that's kind of the problem.
No, but I mean, it is very interesting. I think
I'm just going to be reckless as fuck with him, though, until he dies. That bitch needs to go.
You know, I do think that there is a lot of flavor in the game. And, you know, I do think that one of the telling things is, again, it's a fun game, but even me, it's like I played it and I was like, now I want to do up my threshold gang. And I mean, it starts at 3 people. Or, yeah, I mean, you can do more, you can do less.
You can definitely
do more.
It
really depends on what you want to do. But
you can have
like
a character and 2 agents. Okay, so here's another bit to kind of get into when it comes to building your threshold team. The game is based around having one character. And that character is like the main character of a movie or a story, right?
Yes.
We want to make sure that it's movies that were before the 80s, because otherwise Mike hates all movies, right?
It is true.
Love you, Mike. but no, I mean, it's all based around this one character. And then you buy agents and civilians, and you can get temporary contracts and stuff like that to build out your list. And that's kind of the way that it works, right? But that character is the hinge of everything. If that character takes a major injury and then dies, boom, you're dead.
Yeah.
Right? You have to then build a whole new list. Everything else goes by the wayside. And you start from scratch, right? And so that's the only real end, right? So what you'll see is a lot of players who are playing the bad guy's side, they're gunning for that character, right? They wanna do as much damage as possible, and that's the most damage that you can do, because if you kill that character, everyone is essentially dead. They got to start from scratch, right? But that, again...
Or to term it another way, the dick move, if you will.
Well, you know, if you're a Sasquatch. You can't trust a Sasquatch. Right. So... Okay, but back to the models.
We're really all over the place with this, aren't we?
Well, you know, that's what happens with new games. But as somebody had said, the models, you know, they're modeled with a lot of personality. They're not going to have the detail that you're used to with Games Workshop, obviously.
Yeah.
They're not going to have a lot of the really, really high-end type stuff. But the models have a lot of personality, and they're very fun. Like you said, the maniac. He caught your eye just for the fact that he was wearing a straight jacket and holding a big cleaver. And it's just a guy with ratty hair screaming.
Yes.
And you're just like, ah, that's fun. I like that.
And I'm going to take this in my list. You know, like,
it's fun.
It is very, very fun. And you're right. I mean, we've seen more detailed resin sculpts with Spartan Games.
Of course.
The stuff they do is amazing.
Right.
You know, Games Workshop plastics, or again, you know, King of the Castle. You're not going to be finding that level of detail or that level of, you know, just sort of, I don't want to say quality, because they are quality cast.
I think they're quality cast.
They're very quality. But, you know, you're basically not going to find that level of detail in the models.
But the personality in them is just top notch. Because I mean, one of my character is gonna, you know, the guy with like the freaking fedora.
Oh, fucking Rorschach.
Yeah, basically Rorschach. You know, and it's just like that.
Rorschach with a Civil War saber.
Just makes him cooler.
Why the fuck not, right? But interestingly enough, when we were in the molding studio, right?
Yeah.
with Uncle Mike, it was very, very much. Kind of an interesting progression. Like, you could see the stuff that they had originally cast, and you could see the stuff that they are working on now. And the detail and the level of quality in terms of the artistic detail had just, you know, at a steep level gone straight up. I mean, he showed us a Cthulhu model for the Godling,
yeah,
which is part of this game. If you want to play Cthulhu, he's in there.
Yeah.
It's massive. I mean, the model was fucking awesome.
Yes.
I wanted to pick up one of those models just to use it as a greater daemon in my demons list. That's on the awesome. Table, because it's just fucking, like, it's just a sick model, man. Yep. He had, like, dinosaurs. He had all sorts of shit. Yeah. There's Sasquatch.
He had the dinosaurs as another expansion, because that's the thing, is this game does have expansion sets that are out.
Yes.
You know, he said he wasn't going to give us any, which, hey, you know, I'm not calling him out or anything, but basically he said we should learn to play the game,
yes,
see if we like it, and then move into expansions. And honestly, I would play another 5, 10, 20 games of this, because you can play them so fast. And then, yeah, I wouldn't mind moving into expansions and trying to add in dinosaurs and things like that.
And that's really the cool thing, because I think the idea behind this game, and I mean, obviously, somebody might take this as a different way, but for me, when I look at it and I read the rules, and I'll say this right now, rules read fast. You will be done in an hour.
Yes.
It is an awesome rule book. The art is phenomenal. The layout is really cool. Some of the wording is a little bit confusing. You do have to read some sections two or three times just to make sure that you get the wording down correct and understand the rules. But for the most part, the game is really easy to learn. It's really straightforward. And for the most part, the way that I envision this game is two people getting together. They bring their threshold and they bring their monsters. I play a good guy game. Then you play a good guy.
Yeah, absolutely.
And that's how you. And that would essentially add up to the time that you would spend playing a small game of Warhammer or Warhammer 40,000.
Yeah.
And you could have a lot of fun with it. Because, again, one of the things that I really, really enjoyed is that the scenarios in this game, and this was always my biggest gripe with Firestorm Armadas, they didn't have any fucking scenarios.
Yes.
But this game has got a large quantity of very, very interesting story-driven scenarios, which I think is really, really cool. But the models, the models have a lot of personality. I think they're really cool. I really like kind of a lot of the stuff that I'm seeing with them. And it gets your imagination going for the pure fact that you have so many options to start. It is a bit daunting to start.
That was one of those things where you know, I think you spent about as long building your threshold
a 15-point list
as we did playing the game.
Yes.
Because you start going through and you're just like, well, I like that weapon, but, oh, this is, you know, I like this skill. Oh, it has prerequisites. Well, what does this do? And, you know, what are these? So, I mean, there's so much there. But I think the other thing that I really thought was interesting about this game is, unlike every other miniature game I've ever played, I think this would make an excellent, like, pairs game. A doubles game, because it's just like...
I didn't even think of that.
Yeah, because, like, if the two of us brought both of our threshold lists out...
Oh, fuck!
And, like, you know, like a team, like, it's just like, oh, no, this is really important, we have to secure this relic, so the two agents or, you know, the two characters are going to get together, you could play a really excellent either three...
You could play 2-on-1.
Yeah, you could play a three-player game, because just add up the value of both thresholds, and that one person gets that much bad guys, you could play pairs. So, I mean, I really think that this is the fun, casual... You know, just have a good fucking
beer
time.
And pretzels
game.
Shit,
yeah, this is the best beer and pretzels game I think I've ever come across. Because, I mean, it plays so fast. You can do really any combination of players that you want. Because if, you know, as long as you have people with thresholds and enough points of monsters.
Well, see, and that was always the problem with things like Mordheim and Necromunda. Is they're not beer and pretzels games. They're still very competitive.
They're super competitive.
And
they're super complex.
As you said before, they reward time over experience, you know, over skill. Oh, how much have you been playing? And that's how much your list is? Well, I only have this list, so I'm, you know, this many points below you. You know, I don't have all the skills to make up for it. So, this game
really... You play Spirers? Good game.
Good game.
Good game, Ward. You win. I'm not even going to play.
Fucking Ward. do not go to Onslaught.
Oh, good stuff. You know, but yeah, you're absolutely right. Is there really isn't a Games Workshop game that is a good beer and pretzels game? Because even if you're going to play Necromunda or Mordheim, where they're rewarding you for playing, you know, a very long time, the games are both of those game systems are overly complex. You know, there's lots and lots of stuff to do with them. And the game itself, even if you're only playing with a warband of like 5 to 10 models, is still going to take you 1 hour to 2 hours because that's just the way the game works.
Yeah.
This game is literally designed to be played fast. And going back to that pairs thing, you know, the Godling is 30 points.
Yeah.
So it's just like, if you want to throw Cthulhu in there, he is literally the value of 2 starting gangs. So I'm not saying, you know, 2 starting games versus Cthulhu, because you're a dick if you do that.
That'd be fun!
Yeah,
our first mission in the field.
Yeah. Oh, God! It's Cthulhu! you know, but it's just one of those things where it's just like, I think, because there are rules in here for very large monsters and very expensive monsters. And I think, you know, yes, you could maybe play 100 games with your threshold before you'd be able to realistically field one. Or you could do a really quick team game and then bam, out he comes.
Yeah.
So it's just like, I really think that that's a good way to add flavor, a good way to change it up. Yeah, you know, like I said, honestly, it's one of those things because I think... The more I think about this game, the more I like it. Because I know right after we finished playing, the first thing I wanted to do was write up a threshold list and play another game. Because
yeah.
I had a lot of
fun.
Had
it not been
it.
So late.
Yes, had it not been so late. You know, but even beyond that, like I said, the more I think about it, the more I just want to sort of get involved and start playing games of Strange Aeons, which is different than Firestorm Armada. Because, I mean, I love Firestorm. I thought it was very good. I bought a fleet. I added into my fleet.
Mm-hmm.
I have not painted anything. I have not played a second game. And this, I'm really just sort of jonesing and itching to play Strange Aeons some more.
No, for sure, for sure. So let's talk a little bit about kind of some of the quirks that you're going to see with regards to gameplay, right? Let's kind of get into the mechanics that we see.
Okay.
The mechanics in the game are very similar to what you might see in Lord of the Rings, if we're going to use something as a reference.
Not War of the Ring, because I don't know the rules for
right.
that. So
we're talking about the original Lord of the Rings board game. For Games Workshop, if you're familiar with it. Basically, the idea is you move a guy, activate a guy who can take 2 actions, then I activate a guy who can take 2 actions. Yeah. Now, there are abilities like Command and Lieutenant that allow you to activate multiple characters at the mm-hmm. same time, which is very useful. Essentially, what you're going to see in this game is it's a lot of you go, then I go, then you go, then I go. Now, because mm-hmm. armies tend to be very small, lists tend to be very small at the beginning of this, it goes very quickly. You'll find that you're actually flying through turns very, very fast.
Yes.
Guys don't essentially die when they take wounds, right? What ends up happening is if they have multiple wounds, when they take a wound, you just knock it down. When they're down to their last wound, every time they take a wound, you roll on the injury table.
Yeah.
And it may or may not kill your character. So there is amount of random chance to it, which is very fun from the story aspect of things. And even when they get a major injury and are removed from the table, or minor injury and removed from the table, what will end up happening is they aren't necessarily dead. At the end of the game, you roll on the injury table to see what actually happens to them, and they may or may not die.
Yes.
So, you know, this isn't the end-all, you know, characters dying isn't the end-all be-all. It's not like you feel like you're throwing away these cool characters that you're building this story for.
Yes.
They do stay in it.
Yeah, because I think the only way that your character actually dies is if they suffer a major injury, so they're you know, they take their last wound, you roll it up, and even then a major injury is only if you roll a 9, 10, 11, or 12. And there are modifiers, so
yes,
I mean,
there are modifiers.
It gets easier if you, you know.
If you really hit them.
Yeah, if you blast them in the face with a shotgun, it's easier.
There's more chances.
Yeah, there's more chances. Way more. You know,
now, this is only for Threshold, by the way.
Yes, only for Threshold. Because remember, if anything from your evil dies and you roll up the injury table, it's a remove from table, that's just it. He's dead.
You're never rolling on the major injury table to see what happens to them after the game.
There's a new cultist next week. It's all good. You know, but even then, when you're looking at the major injury table, the only time he dies is if, you know, because they do the D66 system. So for those that aren't familiar, you roll 1 dice to figure out whether it's a 10, 20, 30, 40, you know, so on. And then you roll the other dice to see what it is. If you roll an 11 to 15, so a 1 and then a 1 through 5,
you will die. And that's why when Lang, with his character, his very first dice was a 1, and I was just like, oh no.
And then I rolled a 6.
Luckily, he rolled the 6, which just said you just take D3 injuries.
So I had 2 more injuries, but my injuries were I no longer ever have to take fear tests.
Unless it's
heights. Unless it's heights.
So that's pretty funny. But no, I mean, rad. The other thing that I really liked about Strange Aeons is, yes, it is sort of a Lord of the Rings style turn phase where it's, you know, I move one model, you move one model,
right,
and so on and so on. Although Lord of the Rings was different because it'd be I move my whole side, you move your whole side. So,
right.
I mean, this is more similar to chess. I move a piece, you move a piece. But what I really like about it is you get 2 actions. And your actions can be anything you want. So, for example, with my bolt action, once I moved him into range off my first turn, he had an ability that said I could spend an action point to aim, and then I get a +1 to hit. So every single turn, I would just be like, I'm aiming and I'm shooting at you.
Yeah.
You know, and those were his 2 actions. Now, I could opt to not aim, in which case I could fire at you twice, but then
hitting
it's
on fives.
Hitting on 5. So, I mean, there is a lot of freedom with what you're doing.
Oh, yeah, and if you guys can't tell at this point, it is a D6 game.
Yeah.
We're not talking D20s and D10s.
Yes,
like, the whole game is based around D6, so you really won't have to kind of lose the mentality that you have from what is essentially the norm for wargaming, tabletop wargaming right now.
Yeah. Which is really good. But like I said, I really like the freedom of you get 2 actions. Here's a list of your actions. And the list is very small. You know, there's moving, there's charging, there's shooting. And otherwise, there are abilities. Because, I mean, certain scenarios will tell you can expend X number of actions to do this.
Yeah.
Because that was the thing is with ours, we were looking for relics. Had you gotten to a relic and not gotten mowed down by a crazy guy in a straitjacket with a meat cleaver, the rules said that if you are in base contact, you can spend 2 actions to search through that thing and try to recover a relic, you know?
Yep.
So it's just like, basically, you'd have to spend a turn moving into contact, and then the next turn you activate them. Their entire turn is just rooting through and searching for something.
Right.
So, I mean, that's the way the game works, is your basic actions super simple, straightforward.
Yes.
Skills can give you other actions, or scenarios will give you other actions
right.
that you might do.
Right, right.
So, I mean, it is very fun. It's very flexible. It'll, you know, and...
Well, and like we said, just the number of options out there to play with is what's really, really interesting with this stuff. Because, you know, we talk about, like, a werewolf is 20 points. Right?
Yes.
So it's like, you know, if you hit your, you know, if you get your threshold list up to 20 points, some dude just plunking one werewolf down on the table, that's some shit. Like,
yeah.
You're going to have to fight. Like, and I think that's what gives the game a lot of character. Like, you talked about the Godling, or we talk about, like, mummies and the maniac and
yeah.
stuff like that, because the maniac cost as much as my character.
Yeah,
he
was half my list without
exactly,
one dude
right?
in the street
And that's what
jacket.
Was so interesting about it. So, I mean, like... I would not be opposed to a guy just being like, oh, you're at 20 points? Right, here's my werewolf.
Yes.
I'm playing my werewolf. Because the game is not about armies and list building and all that kind of shit. That's not what it's about. If you really like that kind of stuff, stick to fucking Warhammer.
Yes.
This is about story
yeah,
and fun and a good time and playing fast and playing tons of game fast.
But it's true. But even then, if I were to take, say, 20 cultists, because remember... The one turn that your girl with the double pistols was able to get into range and open up on a cultist that was also running at you with a knife.
Drop that bitch.
Oh, yeah. You're just like, bam, dead. And, like, that's all it was. So it's just like, yeah, you know, that werewolf and that maniac, those are things that are very hard to kill because they're big, they're tough, they're
yeah.
mean, they do a lot of damage. Or I could take 21-point cultists, but they drop... but they drop,
they drop
like
flies.
Yeah, they drop like it's fucking nothing. You know, so it's just like, those are the different things that you can do. But you're right, this isn't an army game. It's not designed to be an army game. You don't have regiments, you don't have coherency.
No.
All your guys run around, yeah. and I really think that the game gets better with more scenery. Because honestly, I wouldn't mind building a small little fucking, like... complex maze thing where it's just like no, we're investigating an old, you know, factory or something, and just
yeah.
be like, that would be fucking cool.
What was the one Mike was building?
I don't want to steal his thunder because he's planning it for next year's Comic-Con.
Oh, word.
Yeah.
Oh, so. But it's we saw it.
Oh,
it's
yeah.
fucking slick.
What he has so far looks amazing.
Yes.
And then him describing what else he plans on doing.
The layers on top
yeah,
of it.
Yeah, the layers.
Yeah.
It honestly sounds like it is going to be fucking mind-blowing. So
yes.
for those of you that can, next year, Cowtown
Comic-Con, yeah.
just fucking head down and go play Strange Aeons with Uncle Mike on this beautiful board.
That thing's
going
to be fun, man. That's
yep.
going to be
look,
really cool.
I plan on going just to play. I might even bring
I'll
my
be dressed
painted
up.
Guys.
Likely.
Gay.
I know, right? But I still want to make my my Guardian costume from Alpha Flight. I know.
For those of you that this is radio, so you can't see me shaking my head at Lang. See, I don't play pretend. I
know you don't.
I don't like.
I don't play pretend either, but you, I like dressing up,
dude. You role play like a boss.
I role play online.
See, you role play and you like dressing up, so you can't tell me you don't play pretend.
It's also true. but yes, well, I spent a lot of money on my Jedi costume, so we'll see. No, I know I'm a big child. That's the biggest thing when it comes to dressing up, though. I always like dressing up, so who knows? We'll see. Back to the game. Okay, so
I think my only complaint
with that's what I was going to get into. What's putting you off?
My only complaint actually has nothing to do with the game and the gameplay itself, because I do think that it really straddles that beautiful line of simple yet fun. You know, so I didn't really find anything where I was just like, this is dumb. But honestly, I don't like the way the rulebook is printed, because the background of every page, in order to add character, looks like crumpled paper. The combination of that with the font that they used was literally giving me a headache.
Yeah, I didn't have any problems with it.
You know, like I said, Terry didn't have any problems with it either. But for me, I was honestly getting a headache. So even though it takes you about 35 to 40 minutes to read through the rules, I had to do it in about two sittings, because I said I'd start reading and I just got a headache from that combination. And as a technical writer by career, I could nitpick some other stuff, but I won't bother, because again, I'm,
yeah, like I said,
that's what I do for a living. No one else is going to notice it.
There's a couple moments, like I said, you know, where the wording is a little bit strange. You do have to read a couple parts one or two times through, yes, just to get a really good understanding of
I think the big one is the Tawund. Tawund section I had to read about four times before I thought I was pretty sure what it was, and it was only when you explained it to me, and I'm like, well, that's what I thought it was. So I guess that's what
they mean.
It
took me three or four times reading it through, going like, oh, okay, I get where this is going.
That is the only section that I would say is poorly written, but even then, it's one paragraph.
Right.
So it's,
you know. I would like to see, I think, being the guy who built the threshold, right, and trying to plan ahead, obviously I had built a guy who I originally wanted him to eventually become like a sorcerer where he could read spells. I built a guy who I eventually wanted to become a martial arts expert, and I built a chick who I wanted to be the friggin' dually running gunning badass. And I'd kind of chosen all of these skills with the idea that I would have to get these and build up to them, right? So these are the starting skills. And that did kind of work against me. To an extent, not that much. And I mean, a lot of it was luck. A lot of it was we were going back and forth and your meat cleaver, and I wasn't handling him the way I should have been handling him.
Yes, you should have disarmed him.
Oh, I should have freaking done alert and just capped him when he moved into range. But that,
bring
like,
a
I would like to see, yeah, I would like to see, if we're going to see, of course, newer incarnations of the rulebook, some sample lists. You know, like, here's a good starting list. Mm-hmm. You know, here's something to think about when you do this kind
of
stuff.
Well, they kind of had that right after
the
threshold. But, like, rather than giving you straight up the paper and, like, take this and the reasoning behind it, which I think is what we're used to, saying, this guy with these skills is excellent at this. You know, it wasn't that black and white, because it was more of like a story. Like, this guy wants to build a threshold list, so we did this and blah, blah, blah. So, I mean, there kind of was. But I do think that... For those of us who don't like to read and like to skim and charts, diagrams, block text would help.
I don't worry so much about the charts, because everything is really just straight out the sheet. That's not so much an issue. I think the only other gripe that I would have with it is the weapons options. The weapons options are interesting and fun, and you can definitely grab the stuff that you want to grab. But I think that there's also a good opportunity for some slightly different, like, just a little bit more. I felt like I needed a little bit more. Mm-hmm. Like, you can start with a 30 caliber machine gun and two civilians, like you said. Like, you can go right into that.
Yes.
Like, I feel like, okay, shouldn't that be something that, like, there's a little bit more between the 30 cal machine gun and a handgun?
Yeah.
Right, like, there's the shotgun and stuff like that, but nothing else with any sort of rate to it. It's, you know, it goes straight up to D3 for that. Like, and again, this is more me just saying, like, I'm used to having a lot of options and playing with all that flavor.
You know, it is possible, though, that the expansions that we haven't seen do add in a lot of that kind of stuff. But
I liked it.
Yeah, and like I said, I did like it, I think.
And again, when you look at the actual stats for it, it does span the gap. Like, I'm not saying that it doesn't do its job. I think it really does do its job. Mm-hmm. But I think with everything else in the book that has so much flavor, I would love to be able to put a crossbow on one of my guys. You know what I mean? Like, I think it would be very, very rad to be able to have some dude with just, you know, just a lot of cool stuff.
I want rock salt shotgun shells.
Right, rock salt shotgun shells. Oh, supernatural. Okay, so that's kind of a quick overview of Strange Aeons. We will probably come back to it again, just like we've said with Firestorm Armada. We'll kind of come back to it and do a after-the-fact kind of thing where we talk about it a little bit more.
Well, like I said, I'm actually hoping to get some games of it in Cowtown. Because I think I'll grab some models. I might pick some more up from Uncle Mike, depending on what I want for my starting threshold. And then, I'd love to get games in because, again, it's so fast.
It's really so
easy. Because, I mean, you know, the big problem with Warhammer, which is why, you know, with games that, like, I only really play Warhammer at tournaments simply because if I'm going to go to the store, I know that not only do I have to get there, you know, and drive home, obviously, but I know that it's going to be about 3 hours start to finish from taking all my stuff out of the case, playing the game, and putting it back in. So when I look at that, and I'm just like, basically, my entire evening is playing a game of Warhammer. Well, if it goes fast and it's a blowout one way or the other, sure, I'll get two in, but let's not bank on that. Well, let's just say I'm going to get one game of Warhammer in an evening. I could do, in an hour, I could get a game or two games in of Strange
Aeons. I think anybody who plays Warhammer and Warhammer 40,000 is well aware of the fact that they've had nights where everybody gets together and everybody has armies and we're all partying and drinking and having a good time and enjoying ourselves. And then it starts getting to the point where it's a little bit late and people start saying, like, wow, we just don't have time to play a game anymore.
Yes.
So you just ditch the game.
Yeah.
You just hang out and have a good time, right?
We've done that at your house where it's just been like, there's been like five or six of us all with armies. And then when push comes to shove, one game gets played.
Maybe.
Yeah. Or no one plays. Because, you know, so it's just like, with Strange Aeons, that's simply not the case. And the other thing is with how fast the game is, I think it's a really good spectator game.
Very much so, because it does kind of grab people's attentions as they kind of play through it, which is fun.
And again, you know, if you have really good scenery that's really setting sort of like a good atmospheric mood, because again, this is a horror game, and I love that. You know, plus your painted models, like you can, again, the spectator quality of this game is very high. It's very fast, so you're not really going to get bored. Yeah.
Next time I'm in Calgary, I'm buying probably more than likely I'm going to be buying a shit ton of bad guys.
Cthulhu!
I want the Wolfman, and I want the friggin' Sasquatch and like a bunch of those guys. And I want a bunch more cultists too.
Honestly, I think I'm just going to span the cultists and paint them like KKK.
They're white to begin with. It is in the black and go.
Hey, that way it is just satisfying for you to be like capping the KKK. Bam! Kill you, motherfucker.
There's the demonic wing of the KKK.
Yes.
Because Satan hates blacks.
Everyone knows that.
He technically hates everyone. But you know.
I said, it does seem like a lot of fun. It is one of those things where I think I want to pick up a couple more. I want to paint up my threshold. Like, that's the thing is I'm just looking at it. I'm like, I'm going to finish my Chaos Dwarf, and the first thing I want to do is paint my three or four or five, whatever I settle on, threshold agents. And then I just want to start playing games. I mean, I don't really know what I want to do for my evil guys yet, so I don't think I'll get them and paint them yet, but
Snake people is my other option.
Snake people?
Because I love the snake people. I think that's really fun.
I don't know, like I was saying last week, before we even played, I was just like, you know, I might as well just grab your skeletons and play undead and shamble them around would be fun. But actually, there wasn't rules for skeletons, which was interesting.
No, you maybe just play them as zombies.
Yeah, that's what I do.
Some sort of undead or ghouls. Ghouls is another option, because I have ghouls too.
You do. But no, so I mean, like I said, there's a lot of fun, and this is a game that has me legitimately excited to the point where I want to play lots of games of it, because I think it's fun. Like, I even, you know, was talking to Terry yesterday, and I was just like, you know what, I think this is a game that we should play.
Yeah.
You know, because I'm just like, we can both play, we can both have a lot of fun with it, so.
Well, and yeah, I think that that's really the big thing is, it's the game that you get the idea that playing more of is what, you know, it's like unlocking achievements.
Yeah.
You know, play more, the game gets better. The more you play, the game gets bigger. The more you play, it's not just, let's play 2,000 points, yeah, and that's what we play.
Well,
you know?
What's very interesting is at the end of every game, they have, like, the post-game phase, where the very first thing is you do is you roll injury. So if any of your threshold agents were removed with a major injury, you roll on the table, see what happens. But then it straight up says afterwards, okay, of every one of your threshold agents that were alive at the end of the game, one of them gets one skill at the cost of plus 1 point. So, okay, I buy another skill, now my threshold game's worth 16, you know, my agents are worth 16 points, so you would get another point if we were to play another game. And you know, you can choose to re-equip, so if you were unhappy with your double baller girl and you're like, you know what, a shotgun's just going to do her better. Like, right, in every situation, so I'm going to take off the points, I'm going to pay the points for a shotgun, I'm going to juggle around some gear. So,
yeah, I know there's a couple of places where I'm doing that.
Yeah, you know, because that's the thing. That is what I really like about this game is you can play a game, you can build your list. Skills you just know. Skills you can't just say he stopped knowing how to read books.
And, right. Like, you know, my guy can't all of a sudden just not have poor health.
Yes, exactly. You know, those are going to stay with you, but you can choose to swap your weapon. So if you looked at it and you were just like, you know what, the two handguns weren't worth it, I'm going to take a bolt action and she's just going to, you know, snipe up in the bell tower because her dex is good and she's got this ability and so on and so forth. So, I mean, it is one of those really interesting things where you have a lot of freedom, even between games, keeping the same characters. Because your skills stay the same, your major injuries carry over, your stat lines carry over, because these can improve.
Yep.
But at the end of the day, you have freedom with what weapons you're going to take and what guns and so on and so forth. So, I mean, it does feel like it would be a lot of fun the more you play.
Yeah, I agree. Like I said, I'm interested in really building up my bad guys and having some cool bad guys to play around with, because I do quite enjoy that. But let's get on to the stupidity check for this week, which is pretty straightforward.
Yeah.
All right. As they have been lately.
Yes. First of all, I just want to say, Andrew Christensen, buddy, I love you. You're a really fun guy. I enjoyed hanging out with you at Out of the Basement. But I think the stupidity check for this week is going to be the fact that Andrew has no idea what a haiku is.
He doesn't know what a haiku is.
Because he posted two, and after the first one, he's like, oh, I was silly, I should have changed the order. Then he posted another one, and in both cases, they weren't actually haiku.
Explain the haiku for those who missed it.
The haiku is a Japanese poem type, where basically it is a three-line poem, and your first and third lines have to be 5 syllables exactly, and your second line has to be 7 syllables exactly. Period. Now,
575.
575. That is a haiku. Now, haikus don't have to make any sense at all. In fact, I have a wonderful t-shirt from Threadless.
Yeah.
where it's just like, there's a haiku on it. And basically, the haiku is, haikus are easy, but sometimes they don't make sense. Refrigerator. And that, you know, and that is a legitimate haiku, because that's exactly the point, is as long as it is 575, it doesn't have to make any sense in the world.
Like the White Dwarf battle reports.
Yes, like the White Dwarf battle reports. They make no sense. Hey, like I said, I just loved the Special Olympics battle report from this last issue of Credace Army versus Credace
Army.
Yeah,
Credace Army versus Credace Army.
Look, it's not fair when a guy in the wheelchair has to race against Ben Johnson. I mean, he's so doped up on roids.
Here's our sister's army, and here's a picture of a Tyranids army from the book. We're not going to tell you what's in the Tyranids army. Shut up.
Ah, look, sisters win!
Sisters won! all right, so we read through the Ogre Kingdoms book. We picked it up, and it's got some very interesting stuff. Obviously, we're going to kind of get into it more next week for next week's episode. But since we're in the spoiler mood, quick spoilers. Like, what's standing out for you in that new book?
Oh, God. Sorry, I wasn't expecting this, so I haven't been thinking
about it. I know, right?
Right.
It's a gotcha question.
Oh.
Ambush journalism.
That's true. Honestly, I think what stands out to me most about the Ogre book is how many options there are. Because, I mean, you know, being a guy that plays in a lot of tournaments, plays against a lot of armies, I mean, I'm not an Ogre player.
Mm-hmm.
But I know that for the last, like, 4 or 5 years, every time I've played against an Ogre army, they've all been almost exactly the same, with very few differences, simply because that is what the book, being, like, a 6th ed book in 8th ed, or even in late 7th ed, it just... everyone was playing the same things because the dust had settled and these things were points efficient, these things were crap, and that end of story.
And that was where it ended, yeah.
So, I mean, I'm really excited to actually play against ogres, because, I mean, I looked at it, I was like, maybe I'd do an ogre army, and I was like, I don't care enough. You know, they're not an army for me, that's fine, but I'm very excited to play against them because, you know, God, there's so much stuff. It's not going to be the same army every time. Like, it's like when you play against orcs. Like, I don't think I've ever played against two orcs and goblins armies that are the same ever in my life because there's so many options in the book. And I really feel that ogres got that.
Well, and I think for me what stands out is I think that they were pretty spot on. I mean, having not played a few games yet, I think they were pretty spot on for the points deductions that they made across the board.
Yep.
And I really do think that they've taken care of a lot of problems that the army had before. Like, I think that they were very keenly aware of, this is a great army, a fun army that people really want to play, but these problems are so evident that this is why people, A, either don't like them, or B, just don't want to play them until this gets redone. So for somebody like me who has an ogre army, very excited for it. So, I mean, that's what's standing out for me. But obviously we'll talk about that more in the next episode, but this has been Jaded Gamercast for this week. My name is Lang.
I'm Nathan.
Have a good one.
Cheers.